I hand the phone to an officer and hear him telling Angela that a police car is being sent to pick them up. Then I phone my own mom, and for the first time, I cry briefly. I feel very young and terrified in my wool sweater with the three lamb faces, clutching my vinyl blue lunch bag with the chocolate pudding inside. An ER doctor comes in and gives us an update, critical but stable. That's one way to put it. The car is totaled, but we're salvaging what parts we can would be another. When can I see him, I ask. Very soon. 20 minutes later, the social worker comes to get me, and the two of us walk down the corridor together. I ask him how Sam is doing. The social worker stops walking, so I do too. He's in pretty rough shape, Adri. I nod slowly, and we resume walking. Then, for just a second, it's like I split in two. I'm physically beside the social worker, yet I'm also watching the two of us walk. When the social worker and I arrive at a set of doors, he takes my arm. Like arriving at a party too late and entering the banquet room to find the busboys clearing the tables, no one has to tell you it's over. You just figure it out. By the time I get to the strangely inactive emergency room, they've obviously given up on trying to save Sam and are instead merely stabilizing his body. Since it was the back of his head that struck the concrete, Sam looks much the same as when I saw him last night, except that now he's unconscious, flat on his back, draped in a white sheet, and has tubes sprouting out from his chest, neck, and arms. I race to his side and grab his unresponsive hand. I kiss his cheek, and the real tears finally arrive, streaming down my face. I love you, I whisper in his ear. No response. I love you. Nothing. I love you, Sam. My silent treatment has been reinstated.